So I have chosen for our topic here this afternoon, bringing up children, parenting, the joys, the challenges, and the heartbreak. And if you're a parent, and I'm sure you must be or you wouldn't be here, or maybe you plan on being a parent in the future, well, I'm going to tell you it's the hardest job you're going to ever do in your lifetime. There's a lot of people out there, and they reckon that if you work in a bank or if you work in a hospital or if you have some big high-powered job, you've really made it. And then they suddenly discover they're pregnant and they take a career break for 9 or 10 months. Well, I'm telling you, their career is only starting. That's the beginning of the real career that you'll ever have in life. I'm going to read one verse of scripture, and it's very familiar to all of us. I have my wee family here as my bookmarkers, and these are my sons and my grandchildren. And being a parent doesn't mean you know everything, but I'll tell you, you most certainly know a lot of things, don't you? And Proverbs 22 and verse 6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. I've already said bringing up children and preparing them for life is the greatest task that you will face in the whole of this world. You know, postmodern society has discounted the role of the mother in the home. Rearing a family is scarcely considered a job anymore. And sometimes somebody will walk up to you and they say, what do you work at? And you answer, I don't work. And the truth of the matter is, from you get up in the morning, from those eyes of yours open until you close them at midnight, you're never off your feet. So don't ever say that you don't work, because you are doing the greatest job of all. Proverbs teaches us that Christian parents have a great responsibility to raise children and to instill in their young minds the truth about right and wrong. And what a great guidebook we find at our disposal in rearing our children and our family. And we must teach our children that one day they will take full responsibility for their own lives. Sometimes our children act as if they're never going to grow up. And sometimes we don't allow them to grow up. And we have to give our children wings. God does not expect perfect parents. And if he did, well, then you couldn't say that I was a parent, because I was far and am far from perfect. But he does expect Christian parents to train our children in obedience and to bring them into subjection by teaching obedience. For a time, the child may rebel. Well, for a time, my children did rebel. There was no meaning about it. And they may even depart from the training that you have given to them. But friends, the training itself will always remain. And the first thing we are going to notice is the lives that are entrusted to us. Wow, ladies. Just think about that. Little lives entrusted by God into our care. What a great responsibility lies before us. You know, the arrival of children in the home is one of the greatest life-changing experiences that you will ever encounter. And you thought it was marriage. There's nothing more beautiful than to see a parent greet their newborn child. And they take this little one into their arms. And the joy of feeling those little fingers. We talk about we. Everything in Ireland is we. We means little. So if I talk about we, you know what I mean. But those little fingers grasp around your finger. And your heart swells with such pride. And they're so trusting. And they're so innocent. And even talking about it almost makes your heartbeat miss. Well, as a new parent, I didn't know the Lord. And therefore, I didn't fully understand just how awesome a responsibility lay before me. I was the mother of a 5-year-old, and I also had another son, and I was pregnant whenever I got saved with my 3rd son. And then it was only in Christ that I realized what had been entrusted to me. At this time, I had been fostering children for a number of years. And I can tell you that our home was generally filled with tension and friction. And as a parent, I used the threatening technique. And I even used the heavy hand of discipline. And sad to say, I was already training these little children by my example to follow after the world and all its vices and its snares. But I can tell you, ladies, I wasn't long saved until through reading the scriptures, I realized what a privilege it was to be a mother who loved God. Because I knew that this would impact my children's lives and that it would shape them for the future. I realized that I now had a new role, and that was in training and disciplining my wee ones in a godly and a biblical manner. Children that were only lent to me, lent from the Lord. Because very soon, and probably all too soon, they would fly the nest and desire freedom from the parents' control. Yes, lives that are entrusted to you and entrusted to me. But what about the lessons that are encountered by us? When the children are tiny, it's easy, isn't it? When they're starting to show their own personality and their own little traits, well, it's still relatively easy. But boy, one day it hits like a thunderbolt. And you almost ask, who are these children? Could they really be mine? My boys, they got degrees in fighting. And they fought and they fought. And they fought until I was on the brink of despair. And I used to put on a smile when I was out with my little angels. And they were so good when we were out in public. And the wee saintly caps never slipped. And then we got home. And the doors closed. And boy, I can tell you, it was a different story. And I often cried and asked myself, where did I go wrong? And I honestly believed, and this is the truth, you might think I was naive, but I honestly believed that within these 4 walls of my home, that as the children was breaking my heart, that I was the only one. No one else could possibly be such a failure where their children were concerned. But one day, with my pride put to one side, I confided in a friend. And I can remember she threw her head back and she laughed. And she says, Esther, she says, this is all part of growing up. And she says, most homes is like a war zone at times. And I learned that fighting between siblings is as natural as water running down a hill. And what a relief it was to me that to realize that I was not alone. It wasn't my fault. It was, and it is all part of growing up. And another very valuable lesson, ladies, that you will all learn, and I think it needs to be learned very early in parenting. And that is, you cannot be your child's best friend. As much as you want to be the coolest and the trendiest and the most understanding mother and friend, it just doesn't work. We need to remember we are not a friend. We are a parent. And as a parent, you have to do things which friends wouldn't normally do. Many times you have to say no. You have to be willing to be unpopular. And boy, I always seem to be unpopular with my children. But in the midst of all of this, it's important that your children know that you love them. You might ask, what if I say yes and my husband says no? What then? It's important for parents to present a united front. It's necessary to come to an agreement on how to discipline your children. And you need to put into practice that united decision. I can remember myself and my husband, we said, where our children was concerned, we were never going to make a threat unless we could carry it out. I'll kill you. And then you don't kill them. What are you teaching your children? I remember one day in the midst of an argument, my two sons was fighting over a little car. And on the spur of the moment, I said to them, if you don't stop that fighting, I'll throw it in the fire. Well, the fighting didn't stop. And I realized what I had said. And I knew I had to lift that little car. And I threw it in the fire. Never, ever say something to your children that you don't mean. It's vital in the home that there's a meeting of minds in order to make discipline effective. Children will try to play one parent off the other. My foster daughter, I had her for 7.5 years. She had my husband wrapped around her wee finger. He doted on her, she doted on him, but boy, she knew how to cause trouble. And she knew how to wind. But my husband was totally blinded, and he always thought it was the boy's fault. But one day, I don't know what happened, but she went too far, and in that moment, my husband had his blinded eyes opened. And he realized what was happening. And from that day on, our home was built on a united front. And even if we disagreed on an issue, or disagreed on the discipline maybe that the other had doled out, we never showed it or we never spoke about it in front of the children. We sorted it out in private. Yes, children will stretch their parents as far as they can be stretched. And you know, it's then that we need to make sure that we don't snap. Negative words to a child is soul destroying. I didn't have to become a parent to realize this. From I was very young, we went to school in Southern Ireland when we were 4. Boys, my teacher hated me. How could you hate a 4-year-old? What did I ever do that was so wrong? I never learned how to add, because when I was 4 years of age, she sat me with the sixth formers and she made me try to learn, well, I don't know what it is nowadays, but division. You know what I'm talking about, do you? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're not as old as I am. Long division, we called it. It probably doesn't exist anymore. And I couldn't do this long division. My four-year-old wee mind, I couldn't even add at this stage. I was never taught how to do it. And she beat me and she stood me in corners and she told me I was stupid and she made me wear a dunce's cap and she used to put me underneath a big black coat and she'd make the whole school go quiet. And in the quietness, maybe for 5-10 minutes, I'd be standing there in the dark wondering what was going on. And she'd run up behind me and she'd run her hand up my leg and she'd let on there was a mouse going up my leg. And I used to scream and I used to cry and I used to be so heartbroken. And I went through my school years believing that I was stupid. It's only when I went to Bible college, God showed me that I was far from stupid. I still can't add. I still use my fingers. But mothers, I want you for a few moments to think about some of the negative things that we say to a child. Even before they go out to school. You're going to be late. Did you brush your teeth? Oh, you haven't put your lunch in your bag. Hurry up and eat your breakfast. Would you ever tuck in that t-shirt? We're always waiting on you. You're always last out to the car. And then the children comes home. And it starts all over again. Get up to that room of yours and you get it tidy. You didn't even bother making your bed this morning. I want you to go and do it right now. And when you've that done, get your homework done. If you don't finish that book, there's going to be no TV for you tonight, my boy. If you don't learn to be more helpful, you can forget about going to the youth club. You know, maybe all these statements have a ring of truth to them. But do you see the negativity that you're instilling into their little lives? I wonder how could we change this? We need to try to be a wee bit more positive in our speech. Oh, I wish I had been a grandmother before I was a parent. Because I put all this into practice with my grandchildren. And they ooze with confidence. It can be difficult to be more positive sometimes, but if we try hard enough, surely there has to be something we can find to praise our children for. Imagine for a moment it's morning. What could we say that would be positive to our children? Those children that haven't brushed their teeth, they haven't combed their hair, their shirt's hanging out, they look an absolute disgrace. Could you give me an idea of something you could say to them before you send them out to school? I love you. Sorry? Have a good day. Oh, it's hard to be positive because I don't hear much coming from you. Let's try to be a wee bit more positive here. Keep it flowing. Yes, you praise them because they've brushed their teeth. You smell lovely. I have a son and he loves his aftershave and he loves you to recognize that he's got a new one. You're such a good son, such a good daughter. I appreciate you now. Here's your lunch. Thanks for putting your dish in the sink. You look nice today. We've already had I love you. Have a nice day. I will be praying for you. You know, praise goes a long way. And it's something that we don't do often enough. And if you sit down and get the negative on this side and the praise on this side, you're going to find it harder to get the balance of the praise. It's a little test you can try yourself. Write it down. Never tell a child that he or she is naughty. Because he or she is not naughty. It's the things that they do that is naughty. It's not the child themselves. So instead of saying you are naughty, you say that was a naughty thing you did. Remember, it's not the child you dislike, but it's the wrong things that they do. But sometimes we give the impression that we dislike the child. And they go away with the feeling, I can never do anything right. Nothing I do is ever good enough. And maybe that's why they have stopped trying. Oh, there will be many lessons to be encountered. Many challenges to be faced and lots, or maybe it would be better to say there'll be bucketfuls of heartache awaiting you. But remember, 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That verse of scripture shows us that the enemy has designs on our home and on our children. So let's love them at all costs, no matter what. And that brings us to another aspect of successful parenting, the love that we exhibit. You know, a child goes through growth changes, and it brings peaks of joy and depths of sadness. And whilst discipline ought to be consistent, it should also communicate love. Angry discipline. And I was the greatest one for angry discipline until God dealt with my heart. Angry discipline, or any discipline done in anger, is usually ineffective. And it's wrong, ladies. It's wrong. And it's responding with hurt, with disappointment. And let's be honest, sometimes revenge. I'll get the last word no matter what. And none of these attitudes will instruct or teach or educate a child to do right. Christ's love towards us is an everlasting love. And this is the kind of love that we need to display to our children. And yes, we've already established that no one will stretch us quite like our children do. Now, some of the Irish ladies are here, and there's one of them might know this, but not many of them would know it. My son, Greg, is the youngest. You know, there's hardly a day goes by, but he tells me that he loves me. And that's been the case from he was a very small boy, and he's 27 years of age today. But as a teenager, nobody could anger me like Greg. Every temper, every tantrum, every angry, biting word that I heard from his lips reminded me of me. And boy, I hated it. And when the battle started, oh, I'm telling you, it started by right. Too much was said. Pent up feelings and emotions would tumble out. And you know, I just never seemed to be able to help myself. Greg could always rub me up the wrong way. He was the only one in life who could bring out the worst in me. And boy, did he not know it. And I'm telling you, it drove me to my knees many a time. But in the midst of all of this, I never stopped loving him. And I never stopped letting him know. The problem was, we were and we are too alike. And as I watched him and saw so much of me in him, that is now before my salvation I'm talking about, I so very much wanted to protect him from himself. I wanted to protect him from all the mistakes that I had made in life. And I look back on my teen years and I could see that I was the exact same as Greg. And you'll hear tonight about some of those wild things that I got up to. I was angry. I was grumpy. I was self-centered. And do you know what? I didn't like it. I didn't like being like this. And you know, whenever Greg and myself finally stopped yelling at each other and we learned to talk, I realized that he also didn't like being like this. We need to love our children just as they are. And we need to wait patiently for God to work in their lives. And ladies, he will. And he does. Oh, believe you me, I know. But we're going to briefly see the long-suffering that's essential. Children will eventually come to the stage where they'll follow their own desires and not the convictions of the parents. I was speaking to a lady who was at something similar to this. And the speaker stood up and she was telling a story of a family of five. And their dad was a pastor. And she said about the godly home that the children were brought up in. And those three children, they in turn became pastors or went into the Lord's work. And she says, and that's the way it should be, and that's the way it will be if you bring your children up to love the Lord. And she says, Esther, I was so angry with her. She says, I could have spat in her face. That's exactly what she said to me. She says, not only was I hurting for myself and my wayward ones, but I was hurting for other parents in that meeting whose children weren't going on with the Lord. Godly parents. I can tell you, friends, that as Christian parents, striving to bring our children to adulthood with the desire that they will serve and glorify the Lord does not mean that that's the way it's going to turn out. Many parents, and maybe some of you here today, are heartbroken. Maybe you've a teenager still living at home and it requires a lot of long suffering. Fear strikes the heart of many a parent when dealing with their wayward teenagers. Rows, loud shouting, accusations. And you know there's some that's even physically violent. The word why is there ever resounding question in the home. There's moods and there's rudeness. And they act as if they hate each other and also as if they hate you. We already said they don't seem to see the consequences of their actions. They can be so polite to others, so caring, so generous. But they act as if their parent or their siblings don't matter. In Ireland, we would say they act as if you're only dirt on the shovel. Again, we ask why. Why? Why? Because all I ever did was my best. Didn't I? I took them to Sunday school. I brought them up in the church. I read them the scriptures. I prayed with them. I taught them. And now this. Ladies, growth into independence is difficult. And you know, parents take most of the brunt of the pain. We worry. We suffer anxiety. The test and the try is every day. You wonder, will he do something foolish that's going to destroy his life? Is she going to bring shame on the family? That'll wreck maybe the whole family with that wild streak of hers? Teenagers want to be accepted. They so desperately want to fit in. They're under immense peer pressure. The world out there is no friend to the teenager that's been reared in the Christian home. There's so much pressure for them to succeed, to achieve, to be liked. They're often driven by the desire for perfection, which in turn can lead to suicide thoughts, anorexia, drug abuse, and also sex abuse. How can a parent or how can a mother survive all this? Someone once said, I've worn the T-shirt, I've got a teenager, and I've come out at the other end and I'm still sane. We need to remember that a lot of this frustration they experience is not personally against you and me. It's that they are developing in just about every way. Physically, emotionally, and yes, spiritually as well. They're trying to find their own feet in life, and sometimes they need to learn the hard way. And sometimes the hard lesson is the best lesson of all. We must give them room to grow, to develop. We must be there for them. Even if they come home and they tell you that they're pregnant. Love is unconditional. And just as Christ is long-suffering towards us, so too ought we be towards our children. Adolescence is half child, half adult. And this is truly the time that they start to pull away from their parents. But suddenly, towards the end of adolescence, something happens. You suddenly realize that you like your child again. You start to notice nice things about them. They actually talk to you now. They help around the home. They become thoughtful, they become loving, they become kind. And all of a sudden, your opinion is important. They seek and they value your advice once again. You know, the most important thing our children need cannot be bought with money. They need unconditional love. Because, friends, this is the primary means of helping a child to feel safe and protected. Parents, I've got news for you. There's people, I'm not sure, what's retirement age in America? 60? Sorry? 65, that's the same at home. Maybe you'll retire at 65 or maybe even a little later. But there's no retirement for parents. When does a parent stop being a parent? Is it when their own son or daughter is a parent themselves? Of course not, because the job is never done. Because I have a son now that's married, and I'm doing a session on marriage, and I'll be speaking a little about him in it. So I have a son that's now married and got their own home, and you worry about the deposit, and you worry about the repayments, and you worry about, is their job safe? And then the grandchildren come, and you worry about, are they feeding them right? And never tell a daughter-in-law, or a daughter for that matter, that they're not doing it right. Do you hear me? Don't be an interfering grandmother. Because you had to learn by your mistakes, and they'll learn by theirs. Oh, many a time I wanted to take that little baby out of my daughter-in-law's arms. But I never did. And you know what I have realized as I have watched my daughter-in-law rear her three little ones? She has a three-year-old, she has a four-year-old, and she has a six-year-old. I have learned that she's a better parent than I ever was. She's so patient. She's so loving. She sits and she does crafts with them, and she could let the kitchen be a mess in the cooking and the baking, and the flour could hit the ceiling and it wouldn't bother her. But you see, by the next morning, that mess is cleared up and she's ready to start the day anew. Don't interfere. Because your children are now learning to be parents. If they ask for your advice, give it. But there's a difference between advice and interference. But in parenting, the job is never done. Never done. And children will not only break the rules, but they'll break your hearts. And they'll break your heart over and over and over again. But ladies, can I tell you to keep the lines of communication open? We've already said, give them wings. And even though their path isn't as you would wish, the greatest lesson you can learn is to leave your children with the Lord. Because the Lord cares about your children more than you do. And it's amazing, even as Christians, sometimes we act as if we know best. And all the time, the Lord knows. And when you're going through difficult times with your children, and if your children are teenagers or whatever the case might be, it doesn't matter what age they are today, 27, 30, 40, I do some visiting in our home church. I visit a wee lady and she's 95. And I met her son and he's 73. And myself and John sat one day and we had such a laugh. I says, John, I find it so funny that a 73-year-old is coming caring for his 95-year-old mother. Because I also visit 73-year-olds that's not able to do any caring. But it doesn't matter what age they are. It doesn't matter if they're wayward. Give them over to God. Give them over to God. And when you place them on the altar, don't be deceived, dear ladies, and don't be shocked. Because the hurt will still be there. I have one lady I visit, she's almost 90. She's totally housebound. She can't move. She can do very little for herself. She couldn't get from here to there. She's in a chair all day, every day, day and night. She never leaves that chair. And she has one son, and she worries a lot about him. And she said to me there a couple of weeks ago, she says, Esther, she says, I've given him to the Lord. She says, I'm worrying about him no more. And she looked and she says, but it still hurts. It still hurts. And the ache will always be there. And do you know why that is? Because they are your child. And you are. And you will be. And you will remain their parent. Let us just bow and we'll have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bless you here this evening that we can come into a place such as this and we can gather in this manner knowing that God is one of our number. And Father, as we speak about this issue of parenting, we realize that there's none of us are perfect parents. We'll all make mistakes, and Father, I acknowledge I have made more mistakes than I care to even let on. I'd love to just be able to hide them and say I was great, but I know that I wasn't. But God, one thing I do know is that our Heavenly Father is the perfect parent. And Father, I thank you that you care more about our children than we care about them. And Father, you care about us in the same manner. And there's nothing going on in our home or there's nothing happening. There's no heartbreak behind closed doors, but our God is well aware of it. And Father, there might be some parent in this place this evening and their heart is absolutely broken over their wayward children. And Father, they would give their very life to see their children follow after the Lord. Oh God, come to such, we pray. Pour in your balm of healing into those open, gaping sores and wounds. And Father, may each lady realize that the joy of the Lord is their strength. And Father, may each lady realize that our Heavenly Father is heartbroken over many, many wayward in our land. And Father, we just pray that as we commit our family to Thee, that You will come in all Your might and in all Your power, and that somehow, even now, right at this moment of time, that You'd break through into that life that is on our hearts, and that the conviction of God would come, and that the Holy Ghost would fall with fire upon that individual. And that whenever we return to our homes, that we would know that lives have been changed. But oh God, one thing we do know is that we need to be a people who show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. Lord, help us not to be a people that barks out the orders and tells people to do what they say, but they don't do it themselves. But Lord, put our lives on the light of the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit looks down upon us, may He see a people that are out and out for God. And that, Father, we'll be able to say with the words of Scripture, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And though our children be wayward, we will still trust the Lord. We are never going to turn back. We are never going to be discouraged. But we're going to look up to our Heavenly Father, the one who is able to do far more exceeding abundant above all that we can ask or even think. And we are going to fully trust in Thee. Lord, maybe You need to meet the lives of individual mothers here today. Maybe, Lord, we're not the mother that we ought to be. And Lord, maybe there's things we need to put right in our lives and in our home. Maybe there's confession we need to make to our children. Lord, right now, give us the grace to do whatever God the Lord would say to us. And Father, would You make us into the Christian parents that You would want us to be. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.